Herzog, your host. And in commenting on what Dave had to say, first of all, let me say I'm not trying to paint Adolf Hitler as any kind of a saint. Number one. Number two, the people at the time, they didn't like the fact that they were, you know, basically coming under a dictatorship. But given the alternative of what was happening over there at the time with all of the communist infiltration and the debauchery and the disgusting, you know, sexual perversions and so forth, they said, well, Hitler looks like our only hope. And let me remind people that when Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany and the Reichstag fire happened, he put out a decree, you know, and basically made it a police state. And so the people actually had to accept the fact that Germany had become a police state. Economically, over the next few years, from I believe about 1933 to 1938, Germany boomed. The people were put back to work. The economy was booming. The National Socialist Party was actually giving subsidies to people that wanted a vacation abroad. There was a number of different things that were happening over there that was good for Germany during that point in time. As far as the democide and the T4 program, Dave, the eugenics program, I will Google that, take a look into it. And this gentleman, Heinrich von Tricken, the National Socialist that lived back in the late 19th century, who specifically said one or the other, Germans or Jews, I'll take a look at that as well. So take note. You know, I've taken what you've said and I've written it down, and I will take a look at it, and I thank you for your call, my friend. In the meantime, phone lines are still open. I love the input from people, what you have to say, the comments, the, you know, any questions that you may have or whatever. I'm open to it because, folks, look, you know, I'm not coming out and giving you this information saying, I believe this. What I am saying is, and I take it from the Judge Judy's, if it doesn't make sense, it's probably not true. I look at this deep and in context of, you know, what is being has been spoon-fed to us over the last 50, 60, 70 years, a lot of it doesn't make any sense. And like Judge Judy says, if it doesn't make sense, it's probably not true. And I try to look at why, number one, it doesn't make sense. And number two, why would they spoon-feed us with this? Well, I think I may have the answers to that. But with that, let's go to Jim in Kansas. Jim, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
The Rudolf Hess that you're talking about there, I think spelled his last name H-O-E-S-S, as opposed to the Rudolf H-E-S-S that helped write Mein Kampf and spent 40-some years in Spandau Prison.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm not sure about that. You could very well be right, because I did notice that when I was watching this, you know, the documentary, the guy that was taking the dictation was a strong follower of Adolf Hitler and was doing it. But you're saying that's not the same guy that was tortured, right?
Because Hess didn't die until 87, the one that helped write Mein Kampf and the one that flew to Scotland and stuff and was taken prisoner. Okay, I'll hang up and let somebody else talk.
Okay, well, no, okay. Great. I made a note of that. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Okay, all right, bye.
Okay, so there was two Hesses. One was H-O-E-S-S, and I was thinking that O in German, there's two, what do you call them, apostrophe? No, not, there's two little dots that go above the O. And then there's the other Hess who was took the dictation on Hitler's book, who I believe Jim said died in 1987. Okay, so I'll take a look at that. But anyway, let's get back to this. So many Jewish survivors of the death camps say that they saw bodies being piled up in the pits and burned. Well, you have to ask yourself, how much gasoline would it have been used to perform this act? Well, a lot more than the Germans had access to or could have afforded to waste during the Second World War, that's for sure. So that, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would the Germans expend, with those resources being so valuable in a time of war, why would they use, I mean, they could have just shot them and thrown them in a ditch, for crying out loud. Number 18 is, can bodies even be burned in pits? And the answer is no. It is impossible for human bodies to be totally consumed by flames in this matter, as not enough heat can be generated in open pits. Note from the HAC, I can personally confirm from my own observations of both communist and American atrocities in both the American and Rhodesian armed forces that it is impossible completely to destroy human bodies en masse with either gasoline, napalm, or in any other way in open pits. The Holocaust, quote, experts, unquote, who claim otherwise are either parroting what they have been told without bothering to check their facts, or else they are just outright lying. Number 19, Holocaust authors claim that the Nazis were able to cremate bodies in about 10 minutes. How long does it take to incinerate a body, according to professional funeral operators? About 2 hours. So that is indeed a myth. Now, I know that to be a fact because I have specifically asked funeral directors, in with the case of my mother who passed away in 2002. She was cremated. So I know that to be true. Number 20. Why did the concentration camps have crematory ovens? Answer, to dispose efficiently and sanitarily of the corpses that died from typhus and other diseases. Going to go to number 21 in a minute, but before I do that, I'm going to go to Ramsey in Canada. Ramsey, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Ramsey.
So look, I just want to tell you a few things. One of the points, see, I just came into the program now, because I'm going to start listening from the beginning.
Are you on, what kind of phone line are you on? Because you're breaking up real bad, Ramsey. I can only hear about half of what you're saying. Repeat that.
Is that better?
I don't know. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, you see, I've heard what you said, like in the last 10 minutes, because I just came in now. And actually, one of the points that you said that that nobody knew about what happened in the Holocaust.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, well, see, so I just want to say that that's just not true. People knew.
Ramsey, look, it is true. I'm talking about during the war. Had they known, had the Vatican known, had the intelligence known, blah, 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 okay, they would have done something about it. They didn't know, Ramsey. This was all...
See,
Go ahead.
See, sir, they knew, that the intelligence knew. See, the British intelligence people intercepted the messages that the Germans were doing between, who were in Germany and Poland. They knew. And this first came out in 1943, so there was evidence of that they knew. If you have like intelligence agencies background, okay. And see, so that's the first point. I know one of my professors. He was he went to the International Red Cross in Switzerland. He speaks English, French, German, Hungarian. He's Hungarian background. And Chico, he's totally aware of the influence of the Jewish lobby and influence in our education and the media. And this guy lived under communist rule, so he's aware of the Jewish people and the Bolshevik Revolution and all that. And Chico, he said that the Nazis collaborated with the Jewish Zionists.
That's true. They did.
Yeah, and it's true. I know. Yeah, and the thing is, he said hundreds and thousands of Jews were killed only from Hungary. Only from Hungary. So, see, sir, that completely refutes the argument that you say that only 250,000 Jews based on International Red Cross. That's a complete lie.
Ramsey,
International Red Cross.
Excuse me. Show me your evidence, my friend, okay, because I'm getting it from the Red Cross records. I hear a lot of speculation out there. When you're talking about, you know, a thousand, there was a deal made with the Zionists and the German Reich. That's true, there was, because they had they had the same agenda in mind. The Germans didn't want the Jews in Germany because of what they were doing to the state, and the Zionists wanted the immigration into Palestine. So the Germans...
Yeah, I know.
Well, right. Okay, so here's the question I pose to you, Ramsey. If the Germans made it... If they wanted to kill the Jews, all right, why would they make a deal with the Zionists, which benefited both parties, and allow these people, these Jewish people, to leave with their money, okay, which the Germans could have very easily said, no, give us your money, and then you can leave. They didn't do that. They let them go with their money all the way from 1933 to 1940. Why would they do that, Ramsey?
You see, sir, look, Look, sir, I'm talking about the numbers. Please stick with the numbers issue. You said 250,000.
No, I'm asking you a question. Look, obviously, you are a Holocaust apologist. Okay, you believe the Holocaust happened. That's your opinion. That's fine. I'm asking you a question, okay? Why, if Germany wanted to kill all the Jews, and, you know, they, first of all, they would take their money and the stories of taking their gold teeth out and all that stuff, why would they make a deal with the Zionists and emigrate these people with their money in hand out of the country? Why would they do that?
Well, see, so you changed the subject now. I'm talking about the numbers. But
no,
look,
I'm answering
your question.
Whether I change the subject or not, Ramsey, I'm posing a question to you. In your mind, why would they do that?
Okay, I'll answer. First of all, like you said at the beginning, the Jews in the United States and England and all these people, they pulled the boycott on Germany in 1933. You know that, right?
They pulled what?
So, like the damage that... The Germans, the Jews in the United States and England, they posed a boycott on Germany to damage the German economy when Hitler came, right?
I don't know. They pulled a what? They pulled a what?
The Jews in the United States and England imposed a boycott on Germany.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out. Ramsey, look. I'm trying to figure out what word you said. Did you say embargo? Is that what you said?
No, boycott. You talked about it earlier. The Jews made a boycott on Germany in 1933 to damage the German economy. You mentioned that like 10 minutes ago,
yeah,
didn't you?
The Jewish people invoked a worldwide embargo on Germany in 1933. Because Germany was taking these influential German people or Jewish people out of places of influence like judges and like politicians and so forth, and they were reverting them back to the Germans. That's why the Jewish people turned around and invoked the embargo on Germany. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Let me finish. And the thing is, Nazi and the Zionist collaboration happened is that the Zionists said, okay, we'll end the boycott and you help us make the Jews leave Germany so we could have a Jewish state.
I'll agree with that. That is a condition that Hitler put on the Zionists, that the embargo would be lifted if that agreement was reached to allow them to immigrate with their money to Palestine. I agree with that. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, sir. And so does my professor. But see, sir, I'm talking about the numbers. See, sir, according to the record, and hundreds of thousands of Jews only in Hungary were killed.
Ramsey? Ramsey, stop. Are you talking about hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed in Hungarian prison camps occupied by the Germans? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Well, then show me the proof. That's all I'm asking for,
I'll show you the proof. Okay, but let me finish. My point is that refutes your argument that only 250,000 Jews were killed in from the beginning to end of the war. That's a lie, sir. And also, sir, you mentioned the International Red Cross. My professor went to the International Red Cross headquarters in Switzerland. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of and millions of documents of the International Red Cross in the volumes. So, see, sir, here's the question I want to ask you. That document that you're talking about of 250,000, tell me the name of the document, who wrote it, tell me the date,
the international
volume you got it from.
Hold on a minute. Back off, all right? I got it from the International Red Cross. Now, look, all I said was that you
tell me the volume and the date.
All right, let him go. Dan, let him go. Let him go. Folks, look, I have no problem debating people. I have no problem cross-referencing people. I have no problem inviting people to send me documentation because I'm just like you. I'm out for answers. But when somebody continuously insists on cutting me off and stuttering and stammering, and you know, with nothing that I can see is any documented evidence other than hearsay by somebody else. I'm sorry, I can't deal with that, Ramsey. Okay? End of story. Now, if you want to show me some documented evidence by the Hungarian judicial or official counsel or whatever, and if you want to email it to me, that's fine. My email address is discerner12000 at yahoo.com. That's discerner12000 at yahoo.com. I'm here looking for answers just like all of us are. And my preponderance of the evidence up to this point, and I don't claim to be the be-all and end-all, the preponderance of the evidence in my mind shows that it's more conclusive than not that the Holocaust didn't happen. And it is obvious and evident to me, Ramsey, that you don't believe that. And that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. But I'm just questioning some of the information you're getting third party and where it's coming from. And if you can show it to me and I can verify it and document it, so be it. There's my email address, my friend. Okay? End of story. So let's continue here. I got Kevin in Georgia. Kevin, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, are you aware that Herzog was the name of the first rabbi of Israel and the chief rabbi of Ireland? I've just come out of that closet, pal. You're as Jewish as a damn bagel joint, okay?
Really? Well, yeah. Let me ask. Why lie?
Why go on day after day and lie to your audience? You're a Jew. Just come out and say it.
Okay, look. Why would a Jew come out and talk about what I'm talking about regarding the Holocaust and saying the preponderance of the evidence looks like it didn't happen? Why would a Jew say that?
Look, pal, just the last 5 minutes I've heard you. You say Zionist. Jews do not even deserve that word, Zion. You know, Jesus Christ did not come for Jews. It has nothing to do with Zion. I hear you use the words like communitarian and all these damn fake words. You're a phony, pal. That's all there is to it. And that's all I have to say to you, and that's all I ever have to say.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. I'm as phony as a $3 bill. Unfortunately, sad to say, my mother was a Baptist. I have no Jewish lineage. End of story. What's that? Who? Yeah, go ahead.
Michael?
Yes, how you doing?
The shill is back.
Hey, John, you know, did I sound like I was on the volume I accused you of being on yesterday or day before? I thought I treated the man rather well, don't you?
I'm familiar with most of the dialectic, the speech patterns and whatever of people living in Canada. He doesn't sound like he's native Canadian to me.
Are you talking about Ramsey or Ken?
No, Ramsey.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry, I missed Ken. What was that one about?
Oh, he accused me of being a Jew and a liar, and I don't know, all this other stuff. And I just posed the question. I said, if I were a Jew, how could I be talking about this with a preponderance of the evidence that it looks like the Holocaust didn't happen? I don't think a Jew would do that. Do you?
Well, and they think they smell fresh blood in the water, and that's why they're attacking you.
Oh, I see. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, I better go back to my Valium bottle then, because I thought I handled it rather well. But thank you, John.
I did. Well, and you're never going to satisfy a shill. The moles and trolls, Michael, let me tell you a short story here. Like other websites out there, we followed what they did. We'd post stories and we'd allow commentary on it. And I did that with trepidation to start. I thought about it and I thought, okay, you know, it's a way for people to get into a blog and communicate with each other and have discussion, fruitful discussion, you know, in search of the truth. And all it was a platform for the moles and trolls. So over 5 years ago, I disabled any comments on our webpage. I didn't want to do it. I had to think about it real long and hard in order to do it, but in order for us to function without this unnecessary interference from the moles and the trolls, I did it. Well, Michael, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, John. See you later. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with John Stadtmiller jumping in. What a surprise. Be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Yes, Mike, call me a dispossessed Baptist because, and by the way, Columbus, I'll get to you in just a second. You know, my mother was a Baptist, and she actually had to stop taking me to the church of her favor because I guess I was incorrigible. I used to disrupt the church when I was a little kid by getting up and dancing in the aisles. So she took me home. She told my dad she'd never take me back again. Just a quick story for you. But it had nothing to do with Judaism, I trust. Trust me on that one. Let's go to Columbus. Columbus, you're on with Michael. Is that in Florida? Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, no, it's Thomas, not Columbus.
I'm sorry, Thomas. It says Columbus up here. So, yeah, he's just writing me going, whoops, my bad. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Yeah, I sort of figured that's what it was. John's right. That guy's not from Canada. I don't know what kind of an accent is, but he's obviously he immigrated there.
Are you talking about Ramsey?
Yeah. And I've heard him. I don't know, at least four times. He's nothing but he just burns up a lot of time, and he says the same thing.
No, I know. I was on John's show. I think it was last week. He called in. Or he called in the other day, and I popped in a couple times. But, you know, I feel sorry for him, really, because obviously he's propagandized with a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it's against the law to even talk about this stuff in Canada. You can go to jail. And so, obviously, you know, there's only one position he can have, because if he had the other position, they'd throw him in jail. But, you know, that's okay. I'm agnostic. I'm open. You know, somebody wants to send me documents, you know, verified documents that, you know, 300,000 Jews died in Hungary. Okay, show it to me. Hungarian prison camps, the 300 Jewish people died. I'm totally open to it. I'm not saying this is or it isn't. I'm throwing this stuff out here, and I'm critically analyzing it, looking at whether it makes sense or not. And up to this point in time, the overwhelming preponderance of the evidence is that these things that they're throwing about the Holocaust and the ovens and the gas chambers doesn't make any sense. And Judge Judy says, if it doesn't make any sense, it's likely not true. It could be. Okay, but show me some evidence that it is. That's all I'm saying, Thomas. You know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I was listening to your talk, and I'm guilty of the same thing myself. You always continue to use the word concentration camp. And actually, from all that we know, and I think you'll agree, they were work camps. They were used to manufacture goods. And a concentration camp is more akin to what Eisenhower had after the war, where he just cordoned them off like, you know, dogs in a field with a barbed wire and let them die, or like what the British did to the Boers down during the Boer War. I mean, a concentration camp is a death camp, and I think we need to get away from using that term. We all fall into the terminology, and we don't realize, oh, gosh, no, they were work camps.
Well, no, duly noted. I'm glad you brought that up. But yes, and I never even got into this. I'm going to get into it in the not too distant future of what Eisenhower did. From what my understanding is, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, they cordoned 1.5 million or so Germans off, and they denied them food and water and let them starve, let them die of dehydration. Am I right?
From what I understand, they just strung up barbed wire on bare fields and shoved them in the middle and said, there you go, and they died there. I obviously wasn't there, but I've heard a number of accounts, and I'm assuming that it's true. The reason I actually called in was, are you aware of the fact that there is a lady in Canada named Monica Schaefer, who was of German descent, and basically she had done a YouTube video, basically kind of, I think it's called I'm Sorry, Mom, or I Apologize, Mom. You have to look it up. And basically all her life, she was meant to feel bad for being of German descent in Canada. You know, kids called her stuff like Kraut and made fun of her because she wore, like, German-type dresses. Anyhow, she just, within the last week or so, was arrested in Germany and put in jail because they discovered that she had made this YouTube. And she was over at a court, a trial for a German attorney, I believe, who's a lady, who they're going after. And this Monica Schaefer went there, I guess, to just watch. And the German police arrested her, and she's been held without any communication for the last several days, or even a little longer, and her brother has had no communication with her. And you can look it up. It's on the Internet. And this just happened. It happened within, I want to say, a week or so.
Well, do me a favor, Thomas. I'm going to a break, but hold on, because I want to ask you a couple questions regarding that issue when I get back. So stick around. More. Yeah, we'll be back in a few minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I have a couple questions about this Monica Schaefer. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I remember when I lost my mind when I started getting into this topic, okay? But anyway, listen, Joel in Wisconsin, you're up next, but I want to go back to Thomas real quick. Thomas, this Monica Schaefer, she was a Canadian citizen that went over to attend the trial of this attorney over there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I decided to get on my computer and look it up. Okay. January 3rd, she was arrested. She'd gone there to be a quiet observer, if she wasn't trying to testify, of a lady called Sylvia Stolz, S-T-O-L-Z, who's an attorney who's being tried over there as a Holocaust denier. So I guess...
Hey, see, let me interject. Sylvia Stolz, I believe she represented... It was either Germa or Rudolph, or it was one of the Holocaust revisionists that she was the attorney for, and then the German government turned around and arrested her as well. Am I right there?
Maybe Ernst Zundel, because that was a while ago. Yeah, I think she might have. I don't know the particulars, but she's being, yeah, I do believe in her capacity as an attorney, doing what she was doing, representing somebody, that's why they went after her. After they probably convicted the person she was trying to defend.
Well, no, it wasn't Ernst Zundel, because it was Doug Christie that represented him in both trials. Now, I don't know. It may have been her that represented him in the German trial, because I know they extradited him over to Germany and they threw him in jail for 5 years.
Didn't they also take him to Austria and spank him again or something? I kind of just they line up like a gauntlet, and I think when they pass you around when they get going with you. And
it's really sad based upon the information that I'm looking at here and the volumes of evidence that I've gleaned over that the German people are so propagandized to believe that it really happened because it's the offspring of the people who were there. And I'm sure that we've even got a host on this network whose mother lived in Germany during the Third Reich. And she attests that, Hitler treated them very well. And, she had no knowledge whatsoever of any of this stuff going on. But at any rate, I'm going to do some research into that. I thank you for the information on that, Thomas. Okay.
Too bad the Canadian ambassador or something, you'd think he would jump right in there and say, hey, you can't do that to a Canadian citizen over here.
Well, we'll see what happens. But, what's his name? Ramsey calls into John's show. He calls into a lot of shows. And it's the same thing. And with all respect to whatever I can give to Ramsey, he's not real good at concisely making his point, which is a bone of contention with me anyway, because he burns up a lot of airtime to try to get out his thoughts. And his thoughts are not really based or, grounded in any concrete proof of anything, which is all I'm saying is show me the proof. That's it. End of story. Anyway, thanks, Thomas. I'll let you go. Let's go to Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, you're on with Michael. How you doing, buddy?
Yes. I can't think of a more controversial topic than what you're talking about. And, Mike, I have a simple question. How many other topics can you think of where it's against the law to question it, and then you'd be called a denier, and you can be arrested for that? Is there any other topic that you can be arrested for?
No, this is the only one. This is the only event in history where they have made it a crime in 22 different countries to even talk about. And you have to. I'm glad you brought that up, Joel, because you have to ask yourself the question: why would they do that?
Right.
And I'll tell you, and from my perception of why they would do that is because yes, there is so much evidence to overthrow the entire the theory of the Holocaust that they don't want to talk about it. So their solution was to make it against the law. So if you open your mouth about it, we're going to throw you in prisons to shut you up. That's it. And something I can think of.
Another clue is who has the power to do that?
Who has the power to pass the law? The legislative body. It's the puppet masters that are doing it to the puppets.
Right. They're influenced by the people who don't want this out.
Exactly. So, Canada, Hungary, I guess, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, I believe France. I don't know. I can't name all 22 countries. I'd have to look them up. But, I read off the other day how many people have actually gone to prison over just by virtue of the fact of questioning it. You can't even question it. If they tell me the sky is green and they pass a law against it and I say, no, it's blue, they're going to throw me in jail for that?
Yeah.
We're just talking about, intelligent individuals saying, well, what about this? Please explain that. And they won't even explain it. Well, that in itself tells you something, doesn't it, Joel?
Yes, it does. That's, you should, anybody that argues with you, you should bring that up. Oh, I just thought of one more thing. You could go to jail for asking for a form to fill out a complaint against a police officer.
Oh, yeah. How about that? I reported that the other day. That tells us a little bit more about the state in which we live, doesn't it, Joel?
Yeah, I think it does. All right. Yes. You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Louis Armstrong, it's a wonderful world. How's that go? I don't know. Anyway. All right. Well, let's get back to this. What's that?
All right, get back to it. I'll see you.
All right, yeah, let's get back into a little more controversy and see if my phone lines burn up here. Why did the concentration camps have crematory ovens? To dispose efficiently and sanitarily of the corpses that died from typhus and other diseases. Given a 100% duty cycle of all the known crematoria in the camps, which German-controlled territory, what is the maximum number of corpses which it could have possibly been used to incarcerate during the entire time the camps were in existence? And the answer to that is about 430,600. That's doing the math. Number 22, can a crematory oven be operated 100% of the time? The answer is no. 50% of the time is a very generous estimate, or 12 hours a day. Crematory ovens have to be cleaned thoroughly and regularly when in heavy operation. Number 23, on the average, how much ash is left from a cremated corpse? After the bone is ground down into powder, a separate time-consuming process in itself, it's about a shoebox full. Number 24, of 6 million people that were incarcerated by the Nazis, what happened to the ashes? Well, that remains to be explained, because 6 million bodies would produce literally mountains of ash, tons upon tons. Yet, there have been no discoveries of any huge deposits of ash in the Auschwitz area or anywhere else in Europe, for that matter, including, I believe, Hungary. Do Allied wartime photos of Auschwitz taken from the air show any signs of crematoria in full blast operation? No. These photographs do not reveal even a trace of the immense amount of smoke which must have hung constantly over the camp, nor do they show any evidence of the alleged open pits where the bodies were burned. Number 26. What did the International Red Cross have to say about the whole Holocaust issue? Well, a report of the visit from an International Red Cross delegation to Auschwitz in September of 1944 pointed out that internees were allowed to receive packages and that rumors of gas chambers could not be verified. The full official report of the International Red Cross on the Second World War makes no mention at all of the so-called Holocaust or any of the wilder allegations connected with the so-called Holocaust. Interestingly, in 1996, 50 years after the war's end, the liberal media in America and Europe began running a series of articles claiming that the Red Cross was full of Nazi sympathizers. Now, this charge is entirely bogus and may be chalked up to belated Jewish attempts to damage control as the Holocaust myth crumbles steadily in the light of the factual examination and the critical analysis. Oh, and by the way, is there indeed a diary of Anne Frank? Is it genuine? Well, no, not as published. Because the evidence compiled by Dietlieb Felderer of Sweden and Dr. Robert Forreson of France proves conclusively that the published version of the famous diary is a literary hoax. There was a girl named Anne Frank, and sections of the diary appear to be genuine, including several wherein she describes adolescent lesbian sexual experience with her later, which were later excised from the published text. In 1950, Anne Frank's father sued author Meyer Levin, the actual writer of the diary, over royalties from the book. And a Jewish judge in New York ordered the records of the court case sealed for 100 years. When the original diary was put on display a few years later, it was noticed that the most poignant sections of the book were interpolations written in a forged handwriting in ballpoint pen, a writing instrument which was not invented until 1950. The original diary was swiftly removed from exhibit and whisked away into a safety deposit box in Israel, of all places. It has never been produced for examination since then, despite repeated attempts by scholars to view it. Now, that in itself makes a person go, Number 28. What about all the numerous photography and film footage allegedly taken in German concentration camps showing emaciated corpses and people? Are these fake? Well, some are. But most are of the fakery lies in the captioning. Corpses of German air raid victims, for example, are labeled as dead Jews. One famous and oft-reprinted photo purports to show a Nazi SS man about to shoot a mother holding her child. But on closer examination of this, forensic examination of the blurry print with a magnifying glass, it is clear to the military historians familiar with the uniforms and weapons of the period that the killer is a Red Army soldier wielding a Russian-made carbine. The exterminationist habit of blaming the Germans for atrocities actually carried out by Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin remains common, even though some of the more notorious examples, like the Katyn Forest massacre of Polish prisoners, have now been properly laid at the door of the Kremlin. That is kind of this kind of fraud continues to be perpetrated by Holocaust experts, and it is not surprising in view of the fact that almost all of them espouse Marxist or extreme left-wing views and are, quick to apologize for and explain away Stalin's butcheries as they are to invent fraudulent crimes attributed to Adolf Hitler. The most universally leftist political and social orientation of Holocaust defenders is important and should always be borne in mind when examining their claims. Letting Stalin off the hook is almost as important to them as blackening and defaming the memory of Hitler and the German people. A good example of this is Nice Corps leader Ken McVeigh's refusal to accept any more of the NSWPP email after General Secretary Covington asked him why he did not condemn the mass murders of Stalin. He just stopped receiving his emails. That's kind of like just throwing you in jail instead of answering your questions, isn't it? Number 29. What was the role of the Vatican during the time in which 6 million Jews were allegedly exterminated? Had there been an extermination plan being carried out in a predominantly Catholic country like Poland, the Vatican would certainly have been in a position to learn about it. And since no such plan existed, the Vatican had no need to speak out about it. Number 30. What evidence is there that Adolf Hitler ordered the extermination of the Jews? Well, none. No documentary evidence of any kind, including a deliberate extermination plan on the part of the Nazis, has ever come to light. No signed order from Hitler, from Reichsfuhrer SS Heinrich Himmler, or from any other functionary of the Third Reich ordering the extermination of the Jews has ever been discovered. The Nazis were meticulous record keepers, and literally tons of documents were seized by the Allies at the end of the war. So many that it took the Allied archivists and scholars years to organize, to file, and to catalog them all. And there was nothing. Zip, zilch, nada. Nothing. Number 31. Did the Germans and the Zionists collaborate before and during the war? Absolutely. Both groups were interested in removing the Jews from Europe. The Zionists wanted the Jews shipped to Palestine, and they maintained friendly relationships throughout the war. The German official in charge of shipping thousands of Jews to then-British-occupied Palestine, including future Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, was Adolf Eichmann. And after the war, the Holocaust industry considered this secret so volatile and so dangerous that Eichmann was abducted by the Israeli Mossad and subsequently murdered in order to silence him. Number 32. Oh, sorry. We'll go to number 32 in a minute. Marin, Wisconsin, how are you doing today, girl?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. In light of all the criticism, go ahead.
Yeah, I had your email before and I'd forgotten it, so I wrote it down. I hope you don't mind. I'll put links in the chat room and I'll send to you. But okay. Above all, what happened that would cause them to declare war and boycott? Hitler took over the money. And it wasn't backed by any bankers.
No, right. The Jewish people were heavily infiltrated in the banking system, and he was throwing them out. Okay, and he was replacing them with the Germans, and it really ticked off the Jewish people, so they boycotted him all over the world. Right? Yeah.
You didn't mention the money, so I thought I would, because even Benjamin Friedman and Myron Fagan, considered to be good Jews, talking about what happened, they both demonize Hitler and then later Kennedy as well, because they made their own money. See, anytime we get rid of Jewsery, well, then they're going to be obsolete. They won't have their power. So that's the main crux. But I know you said put them out of power, but this is essential, the money power, as we see going on now with Iran.
Right. I mean, we're still dealing with the same issue today. So, you know, until this is brought to light, until the people of the world understand what's going on, we can never correct the problem, you know?
Let me tell you just one more thing, and it's a little bit off topic, but seeing as how we just had the Julian calendar Orthodox Christmas, the Orthodox know there was a whole caravan that brought gifts for the Christ child, and that's why Herod freaked out and killed all the babies. But that had been kept in Persia, Iran, for 800 years since Daniel had been instructed spiritually to hold this treasure for the Christ child. So I think it's kind of interesting that they're the last country left standing that has resisted the central bank.
That's food for thought. Well, thank you so much for that input, Mara. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'll send you some links.
Thanks, dear. All right, Francis in North Carolina, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. How are you today as opposed to yesterday twice?
Well, if it's that bad, then I won't call then.
I'm not saying that. Go ahead. You got the floor.
I'm just yanking your cord. okay. chain, whatever
well, like
you want
it hasn't
to call
already
it.
Been yanked today. Go ahead.
You did what?
I said, like it hasn't already been yanked today or attempted to be yanked today. Go ahead.
Well, then how about if I yank it a little bit harder then? How's that?
All right, go ahead.
Not to get on you.
Let me reach for my Valium bottle, and I'll be right back. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm just kidding you. Go ahead.
Anyway, it's interesting because whether or not people deny it or do not deny it or whatever the case is, it leads you. It can lead one into a train of thought that if they're willing to entertain it or not entertain it or think you've totally lost your noodle, for that matter, of, well, does that mean or possibly mean that other events that was supposed to have been declared to have occurred not really have occurred, and why was it withheld from people's knowledge as to why it had not occurred in reality, and so forth and nauseam, which then causes a domino effect. Hence the reason why a lot of people end up facing the aspect of imprisonment or whatever, because they choose to reveal information to the contrary. Or...
Okay, let me stop you. Hold that thought. We got to go to the last break here. Okay, but I'll hold you over. All right. I thought I heard the music. Did I hear the music, Dan? Yes, I did. Okay. Stick around, Francis. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening and Francis in North Carolina. Go ahead. Do you want to continue to espouse on this statement that you made, which would take me 30 minutes to answer? Go ahead.
Good point. No, I'll spare the detail about that part, but I am curious about one thing. When you talk about the fact that whether Jewish people were murdered or suicided or who knows, whatever terminology you want to use or whatever have you. The question is, how many other different people were also murdered or so-called murdered or whatever the case might be during that same time period? Aside from that issue, there's also another question that's on the flip side of that same coin. Not all Jewish people are the same. The question is, there are at least two or three different versions of people that are Jewish. There's
Orthodox,
Kazarian.
Kazarian.
What now?
Go ahead. Orthodox, yeah. Sephardi, Kazarian. No, I know that. Go ahead.
There's at least several different versions, some of which were just simply took on the title of being Jewish that aren't. So the question is, if people, or when, or if people actually died, for whatever reason it may have been, in that part of the country for that matter, the question is, how many of that particular ethnic background actually were, or were not, or whatever the case was, or was sent on, since a lot of them were actually very naughty to start with, since they wanted to set up their own banking system for whatever the case might be, which obviously we have the issue or problem here in the States because of. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of little small details about that a lot of people will not broach for that matter. And so whenever I hear a generalization, it's one thing, but when you actually dig down into details, it's like, oh, my gosh, what in the world?
But, Francis, look, you know, respectfully, I don't have the time to dig out down into that kind of detail, like minutia, and I'm not really. But the thing is, yes, I know there's a number of different types of Jews, and people, you know, this guy calls in and says, you're a Jew. You know, there's Sephardic, there's Orthodox, there's a number of different semblances of the Jewish religion, you know, and yeah, and he says, well, no, you keep using the word Zionist. Well, Zionist is a political movement. Judaism is a religion. There's two different factions there, and it's a question of who's in control. A lot of the Jewish people don't even know what's going on, you know, so that being said, you made some good points here, but no, you know, none of us, and I'm inclusive of John Stadtmiller, Michael Rivero, none of us have the time to go into that deep of you know, now, specifics.
I did not mean that you folks should go into that kind of detail. That was not what I was insinuating. It's the aspect that the everyday person even bothered. I mean, with all the technologies out there that people can use, that their access, I mean, if they can access details of some sports individual, regardless of what sport it is that they're in, they can tell how many kids they've got. They can tell how many people they've had sex with this day and time. I mean, why not, if they really want to dig into details, then that would not be the only thing. You basically have a cascade effect into other subject matters that basically have construed as being, well, that's the way it goes, and that's the final report and so forth, ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
That's basically where I was going with that. I wasn't saying that you were...
No, I got it, but I'm running out of time here, dear. I got about a minute left, so I'm going to have to let you go.
Oh, dear.
But no, good points. I'm going to close this out by saying this. I'm going to skip number 32 and go, how many Jews fled deep into the Soviet Union to escape the Nazis? Over 2 million. The Germans did not have access to them to kill them. After the war, most Jews immigrated to Palestine, the United States, Argentina, Canada, and Great Britain, except for about, 300,000. They are all accounted for, except for about 300,000. Gee, is that the 300,000 that perished over in Hungary? I don't know. But anyway, I'm running out of time here, so I'll tell you this. I want you all to have a good weekend, and hopefully Monday I'll come up with something to really jerk Ramsey and Ken's chain, okay? Bye for now. Have a good weekend. See you Monday. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could. I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
there. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.